money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Good to have you on board here on a Tuesday. Busy hour coming up, including a look at tonight's Major League Baseball card in 15 minutes. NHL, Stanley Cup Game 6, WNBA numbers as well. Bunch of props to hit. And here we head out to the Progressive Guest Line every Tuesday at this time. Jeff Seeley joins the program. You can follow him on X. He is at Cupmaker Jeff. Another good weekend for you, buddy, at the U.S. Open. Some of your bets that came in, you had Ortiz at a big price for top rest of the world. And Cam Young, top five at a big number as well, around 20-1. If you take those winning tickets out of it, and I said yesterday it was the most enjoyable Sunday of a major since Tiger won the Masters in 2019. Did you like the event? Did you like the U.S. Open final day coverage on Sunday?
And from a pure entertainment perspective, yes. From a betting perspective, no, because most of my guys were out of it, right? But yes, I thought it was very entertaining, and I liked it much more than Tiger winning the Masters because Tiger beat Koepka. So I'm a little biased on that front, but no, I mean, I thought it was very entertaining. I thought it made for great television. And anytime you see the best players in the world struggling like average everyday guys do on the golf course, especially when you're playing, it's, you know, it's summertime, we're all playing our big tournaments at our clubs and everything, and when you have a rain delay and you're playing in thick, wet, rough, we've all been through it, it's a challenge, and to see those guys deal with it, I thought it was really entertaining. I just couldn't believe at the end that nobody could hit a freaking fairway. That blew me away.
Yeah. It was dynamite television with a 5-6-way tie late, only a couple guys, a couple shots back, and the weather. Would there be a playoff? Would they get the round in? Could Rom get there somehow in the clubhouse four over? What'd you think of the call with Burns and the standing water and not getting relief?
Guys, I spend a lot of time around junior golf and rulings in general. And what Sam Burns had was the definition of standing water. If you lift your foot up and place your foot down and water pools around your shoe, that is the definition of standing water. I cannot believe that he didn't get relief. He got really, really screwed there. Would he have still won the tournament? I don't know, but he definitely got a bad ruling. And the fact that he asked a second official and the second official still had the same ruling kind of blows me away. Because, I mean, the fact that one could have messed it up, the fact that two did, something was crazy there.
Oh, by the way, Jeff, you could tell by watching his body language, clearly impacted after that.
Oh, sure. Yeah. You bet. You bet. Totally agree.
Oh, it bothered him, no doubt.
Yep. Okay, let's get to the Travelers this week. It's a damn good field yet again, and guess what? Scottie Scheffler is involved, so his number is not going to be large. It's like around 3-1. What do you want to do? How do you plan on attacking Scottie this weekend?
Well, guys, in these elevated events too, right, it's really hard to beat Scotty. I mean, you're going to get four rounds out of him. I mean, he's any model you run except for one I ran, he's going to grade out the best. So like I do in these scenarios, if I'm going to play Scotty, I look to parlay him with something else, whether it's a baseball game, whether it's WNBA, whatever it might be. And then if I'm going to play the other guys, I'm certainly looking at the winner without markets and placement markets, and that's really where I'm going to focus this week as we talk through some of these guys.
Are you touching Rory?
No, I'm not touching Rory. Rory's performance on Sunday wasn't terrible, and the fact that he made the cut and actually beat some folks that like Bryson, who that was expensive for me.
Mm-hmm.
Bryson, I did win a Rom over Rory bet, but no, I mean, I think that I'm not going to play him. There's too many other guys for history here in a scenario where it's just wedges and putting. I think it really mitigates a lot of Rory's advantages that he has over other guys that I don't think are going to be as relevant this week.
All right. Mid-tier golfers that you like this weekend in the 18, 20, maybe 22-1 range, you're going to go to war with Patrick Cantlay. Why do you like him and how are you going to bet him?
Yeah, guys, I said that course form matters, and outside of Scheffler, nobody has better course form than Cantlay. He's 18-1 in the winner without market. In the past 5 years, his worst finish is 13th, which includes two top five finishes here the past 2 years. So he missed the cut in his last two majors, but otherwise, his form's been very good. 13th at the RBC Heritage, 4th at the Truist, 12th at the Memorial are all reasons to have some good faith in Cantlay here. So add recent form to course form. If he putts well, I expect him to finish inside the top five and really contend for a win. Certainly a winner without Scotty would not surprise me at all.
All right, you got a terrible U.S. Open, but why you want to back Straka here?
Yeah, I mean, I think that when you think of Wedge Fest, Sepp Straka is one of the first guys I think of, and he's 25-1 in the winner without market. One of the comp courses that people use for this course is TPC Deer Run, where Straka won in 2023, and he's had success here too, finishing top 10 in 2021. So he's gained on approach in nine of his last 10 events, and a true testament just to how good this guy's ball striking is. His ball striking's been phenomenal. Yes, he had a terrible U.S. Open, but what really stands out to me with Straka, too, guys, is outside the U.S. Open, his putting has been very, very good lately, gaining an average of 6 strokes putting over the last 3 events leading into the U.S. Open. Of course, he's had some experience at. Of course, he's played well. If the putter stays hot, I like Sepp Straka a lot.
Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest, Jeff Seely, and he is on the Progressive Guest Line. You can always follow him on X. He is at Cutmaker Jeff. Okay, so then after what happened, we mentioned him earlier, Sam Burns, and fell apart, never got the ruling to go his way, which completely stunk, and kind of gave the tournament away, I guess. What do you want to do with him this week then? Do you think he can recover, get off the mat, and is he worth a bet somehow?
Guys, if you zoom out a little bit on Sam Burns, though, and look at him, if you take the name Sam Burns off and just look at the stats, he really is quite interesting. He has 2 top 25 finishes here in the past 5 years, and his current form couldn't be a lot better. 7th, 2nd, and 12th in his last 3 events, and Sam Burns is the best putter in this field. So his wedges are average, but if they heat up this week, we know the putter can carry him. I'm definitely interested in Burns, and I especially like him as, like, a top 20 play. He may not win, but, again, he's going to have 4 rounds to contend. That putter heats up. The course form is solid, and the recent form has just been too good for me to ignore Sam Burns. Right. And I think he probably has a little axe to grind and something to prove here to get back on top.
Fair enough. You're going to go to war with at least one bomb as you do every single week. Who is that bomb?
Guys, my first grade model I talk about every week, the number one guy was Tom Kim, who ironically finished 2nd here last year. Kim finished 33rd at the U.S. Open, but it had been a real struggle for him prior to that. So he's 2nd from 125 yards and 6th from 150 yards in a wedge fest. So there's a lot to like there. His putting's been pretty average, but he doesn't need to putt great to have a good finish. He's only gained 2 strokes putting when he finished here last year, so he can contend without having to putt great. His caddy, Paul Tesori, helped Webb Simpson have success here with 2 top 10 finishes. And if Kim's wedges stay hot, then I think he could be relevant here. So we had success with Ortiz last week, and I think we could have success this week. 90-1 outright. I think he's 70-1 in the winner without market. Very interested in Tom Kim again this week.
As somebody who lives in the Indianapolis area, Pacers fan, Pacers backer with your bets. You had them with some tickets to win in 6. How frustrated were you? I don't know if they're going to win the game last night, but how frustrated were you last night watching when Halliburton was clearly hurt, not the same guy, and yet Carlisle would not go back to McConnell until it was too late?
It was inexplicable, and I couldn't have been more frustrated. I'm still frustrated. It really was inexplicable. I mean, TJ McConnell was having a career game, and honestly, they didn't have a lot of answers for him. That was the craziest thing. He was getting to the bucket. He was effective. He was very effective. He and Siakam were really our only 2 effective scorers. I mean, it was crazy. So yeah, I mean, it's gonna be really interesting to see what they do in game 6, because Halliburton as a decoy isn't that effective, and he's not clearly hurt. He's not shooting the ball great. I don't know what you do, but I guess you run him out there and see how he plays in the first 5 minutes. And if he doesn't, then you figure out plan B and let Nembhard and McConnell run the show.
Do you think they can win if Halliburton's compromised?
No.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I agree. All right, buddy. Thanks as always for the time. Go get him this week, okay?
Thanks, fellas. Take care.
Thank you.
There you go. Jeff Seely on the Progressive Guest Line. A bunch of bets there. And he, Sam Burns made a good case for him. It's always tough, but you got to just, you know, forget about that. What happened last?
Did you say that on air or off air that Van Pelt talked to a pro So a pro texted him immediately and said 100 times out of 100 times you get relief there.
No, I did not say that on the air.
Okay.
I think that might have been, was it Luke who told us?
Tim Murray, I think.
Oh, Tim Murray did, yeah, okay. Yeah. And then he said he would have been arrested.
He would have been arrested. I'm with Jeff. That's the definition of standing water.
Sure. And then he's spot on. He goes to a second person.
Yes.
No, sorry. It just, you put your foot down and just oozes out.
Right.
All of a sudden.
Here it is. Here it is. Now, the other thing was what Adam Scott said. Adam Scott said, quote, virtually unplayable. And then this area on the course here on the hole is slanted. So that's why there's so much water as well coming down with all the rain.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, no soup for you. And then he blows the shot in the tournament.
Well,
and he was irate before and after. And then just the wheels came off.
When down the backstretch of the back nine on Sunday, when it was Burns and Scott and some others were finding the rough, and especially like around the bunkers, mm-hmm. you had no chance. If that's where your shot was going to go, you were cooked, and you were going to have a bogey or maybe worse.
Mm. I love the don't hit it there crowd guy. Just don't hit it there. Oh, okay. Well, thanks. All right. It's like you're in the rough. Well, don't hit it there. One problem, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's easy.
It's good.
Golf, very easy game. U.S. Opens usually
I tell you,
trend that way, right?
We're still doing it, too. The getting the hole guy on a par 5.
It was all day Sunday.
It's getting worse. Getting the hole on a par 5 tee shot.
Put him in prison. Today's Major League Baseball card is up next. It is screaming to bet the under on paper. I will run down the alarming numbers next. Time for some Major League Baseball numbers, odds, and bets here on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Paulie, I'll throw some starting pitchers at you that might be looking at some positive regression coming up pretty soon, if we're not already seeing it. The first game starts at 6:40 tonight on the East Coast, and it's Philadelphia at Miami. Lizardo goes against Quantrill, and Lizardo is the guy on the season, a 4.23 ERA. But the underlying numbers, the FIP is 2.65, the XFIP 3.07. So that's a run and a half better than the ERA. Now, we saw it in his last start against the Cubs, 6 innings, 10 Ks, 1 earned, no walks. But before that, it was 20 earned runs in his previous 2 starts. So I think that was maybe a buy sign last week that he got it back together against the Cubs. And now he might be able to overmatch the Marlins in this spot tonight. Matthew Liberatore for the Cardinals, 4.17 ERA versus a 3.15 FIP and a 3.59 XFIP. He had pretty much 7 solid starts from April 13th through May 24th. Since then, 3 starts, 16 earned runs, 4 home runs allowed. He only had 3 the entire year before that. 10.29 ERA in those 3 starts, but 4.51 XFIP, and super unlucky with some of the numbers. A 392 batting average of balls in play when average is like below 300, and 46.7% of runners were left on base. That's it. So I think maybe the luck will turn back around for him. And one other guy, Ben Brown for the Cubs, goes against Milwaukee. 5.71 ERA. Versus a FIP of 3.30, crushed in 3 of his last 5 appearances. A 7.16 ERA, however, the FIP, 3.32, 10.7 Ks per 9. Very unlucky with the BABIP, 347, 48% left on base. He gave up 8 earned runs against the Reds, but the BABIP was 438, 11% left on base. And in that game alone, it was a 16.62 ERA compared to a 2.61 FIP, which is absolutely bonkers. And he's laying a $1.50 now at Circa here against the Brewers tonight. I kind of like him some way, either outs over, K's over, or maybe the Cubs to win the game.
Okay. Good numbers today. Fun card. I'll start with that game that is 6:10 Eastern and 3:10 Pacific, Phillies and Marlins. Like the Phillies yesterday, love them today. It's come down 30, 40 cents. Some Marlins money. Good luck. They've lost 8 of their last 9 at home. Quantrill gave up 7 earned against the Phillies on April 19th in three innings. Turner owns him, hitting .444 against him. Schwarber has hit 3 bombs off him. I think the Phillies get to him today, and the Phillies get the win. I don't mind the run line either.
Did you hear about Castellanos?
No.
His games played streak is going to end at more than 230. I think it's the longest for the Phillies since Pete Rose back like 40 years ago. He made a comment. I don't know what the comment was, honestly.
Yeah.
He made a comment last night, like after the game, and the manager's like, "All right, pal, you're not playing today." He's sitting him in the game. So.
Who was it directed at?
I don't know what the comment was.
Oh, okay.
I even did a Twitter search before the show. I'm like, what was the comment? And it was only that I'm sure it's out there somewhere, but it was only he's been suspended for a comment and nobody would elaborate that I could find anyway.
Wow, okay. Interesting. All right. That's wild.
There's a lot going on right now, so it could be anything, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yep. How about the Nats? $2. They've lost 10 in a row. Man, they blew it in the ninth yesterday, but the Rockies get the win. It is Sensatello, though, who is... His numbers are just atrocious. 1-10 with a ERA of sky high. 1-10 with an ERA of 7.
Right.
But the Nats have lost 9 in a row, and they're laying $2 here.
So this is a little odd, but Amed Rosario against Sensatella in his career, only 9 at-bats, but 5 hits, 3 of those for doubles. And I was looking at some projections in today. It's the same thing as yesterday, right? Like it's just basically against Colorado pitching, but the batters for Washington, it sets up for like a plus matchup tonight. Abrams would be one of them. I think maybe like +560 in that neighborhood. 6-1 was out there on Abrams to hit a home run. Not awful. Actually pretty decent odds with the matchup that he has tonight against that guy.
Yep. What do you want to do with the Tigers? Should they be 2-10? I know it's Falter's been unbelievable.
He's been really good.
4-0 with a 1-6-1 last 8 starts. Detroit is 14-5 against lefties, but since May 1st, starters ERA, Pittsburgh number 1, Texas, Yankees, and then Detroit.
Now that's wild.
Mize 2-10. I think it's too high.
Okay, so Mize on the year has a 2.95 ERA. Maybe a little misleading. The FIP is 4.07 XFIP, right around that same number as well. So maybe there's some negative regression coming for him. But what about the total here, Paulie, of 8.5? With the way the Pirates cannot hit.
Yeah, you're right.
Right? And Mize has actually been pretty good, and all your numbers right there in Falter as well.
Not bad.
8.5 in this game. You got to get to 9 to beat me.
Yep. Yep.
That's kind of a big number.
How about the Yankees? 250. Can't hit now. They should be able to tee up Hendricks, but I thought they'd get to Soriano last night. Lost 1-0.
Right.
Again, they're shut out, so the Yankees are in a funk.
I really like that Soriano.
Yeah.
I think his ceiling is just phenomenal, but you're right. Can't hit all of a sudden. This losing streak is not good. Will Warren goes tonight. He's got a 4.86 ERA versus a 3.23 FIP. He had 2 bad starts in a row at the Dodgers and also versus Boston. He did turn it around against KC in his last start, 5 2/3, 4 hits, no earned, 4 Ks, and a walk. His strikeout prop tonight is like 6.5. The Angels strike out a lot. I'll have a better prop for you on Will Warren coming up in about 20 minutes on the show that I like in that game. But, I mean, if they can't hit in this series against the Angels, then...
Oh, that funk. Yep.
Yep.
Okay. Bassett, $1.30 against Fott. Big Earn. Remember Big Earn? We've been talking about Clement.
Yep.
He's so good against lefties. 26 of 64 with 11 extra base hits, 13 runs, last 16. Leads the Blue Jays in war. Big Earn. You play his props. He continues to deliver. And then I like Bassett here at home. 5-0 with a 2.48, and the Blue Jays have won 7 of his 8 home starts. Seems cheap, only $1.30.
Okay, I'm with you on this, and here is the game I was talking about before the break where it's kind of screaming to the under. It is with a prop, and it has to do with Brandon Fott, who is going against the Blue Jays in this game. His recent K performances, in order, 4-2-0, all unders. There was a 5 in there, which was an over, 0 Ks, and 3 Ks. In the 4 starts before that, 6-6-6-5, all overs. So here's the breakdown on Fott. From opening day through May 8th, the ERA was 3.28, 21% K rate, and 7.9 Ks per 9. Super solid, right? From his next start on May 13th through today, the ERA is 6.5 runs higher, 9.89. The K rate drops to 12.2%, and that's 5.3 Ks per 9. Toronto, Paulie, they strike out 18.1% of the time, lowest in baseball. but there's more. Over the last month, that number is at 15.6%, which is like absolutely phenomenal. Here's the rub. Four straight starters went over their K-prop. Wheeler, Sanchez, Suarez, and Liberatore. Before that, starters were on a 13-2 under run, including a 9-game under streak, and no starter had more than four in that time. The streak was 15-3 if you go back even more. The streak started on May 23rd, and since that day, the Blue Jays batters have K'd 14.7% of the time. Now, they've been playing games with the FOT K-prop tonight. It was 4.5 under, was a heavy favorite. Moved to 3.5 in most books books earlier today, and is back to 4.5 tonight.
Okay.
Is he going to get to 5 against a team that strikes out the fewest amount of times in all of Major League Baseball?
Yeah.
I wanted to look at his outs prop. It was 7. Here, this is the stuff moves all the time, right? His outs prop was 17.5 earlier today. It's down to 16.5 right now, which absolutely makes sense to me.
Okay. I think the Reds are cheap too. It's Abbott going. No, I knew he's coming off the complete game shutout, 110 pitches. Well, he's 6-1 with a 1.87. If you take out the one bad start he had, he has an ERA of 0.43. They've won 7-9. De La Cruz has gone deep 4 games in a row. The Twins come limping in, ton of guys injured, literally, and they've lost 8-10. Why the Reds are $1.30 at home? I can't believe it.
I know.
Maybe there's because 110 pitches, but. The Reds, and you got the Rays. Excuse me, the Rays going for the Giants. And Devers makes his debut. They're 22-11 at home, and Rays 8-1 with a 2.55, and they're 12-2 in his starts. Cleveland's lost 8-10. The $500 try from G Bank, First Bet, and Visa. All you need to do is open a G Bank Visa signature credit card in the first 90 days. Deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger the $500 try. You'll get a $200 in cashback rewards on your G Bank Visa signature card. First Bet gives you a $100 deposit match. Visa completes the try with a free Visa Pro subscription through August 31st, $200 value. The $500 try from G-Bank, First Bet, and VSiN. Go to VSiN.com/G-Bank, VSiN.com/G-Bank. One-time promotion limited to customers opening a new account. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply.
Up next, trendy numbers in the WNBA and Game 6 Stanley Cup Final. We'll hit player props on the betting menu. And we'll tell you about a player who has cleared his prop for tonight in all 5 games so far of the series. That's next on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Paul, you made a comment earlier in the show basically saying careful out there with Florida tonight because it looks too easy. Well, the market completely agrees. I'm looking at the screen right now. The highest number on the board in this hour was Caesars Palace had like a minus 165 number on Florida. That's now minus 175. And other books are trending in that same direction. BetMGM currently has minus 169 on Florida. Here at Circa, they're up to $1.58. Take back there, plus 142 on Edmonton. I said earlier, at some point, there's going to be buyback. Not yet. Not the way it seems. I'm probably around plus 150 is my guess would be the buyback on Edmonton.
And they were correct on game 5. The steam got there. So
that's right.
They should win, but they've had issues and trouble here in this spot. Last 2 years, closeout games, a series at home, 2-5. And then we know what happened last year where they were up 3-0 and let it get away. So first things first, you put Skinner in there. Can you hold them in check and keep them contained to one or two goals? Three? Okay, that shouldn't be crazy. Can you just hold them to three? Then I think you can win. But Florida goals in the series, 3, 5, 6, 4, and 5. The last 3 games, first period, aggregate 7-1 Florida. Edmonton's got to score the first goal. Have to stay out of the box. Penalty kill's been atrocious. Florida has 7 power play goals in the series. And we'll see. You're right. There's no momentum. But we'll see what Edmonton's made of here and if Skinner can keep them in it and if Florida can go back-to-back.
I think if you told the Edmonton players right now, look, Florida's going to score exactly 3 goals tonight.
Damn right.
Would you sign up for it?
Sign up for that right now.
100% you do.
Yep.
You're like, good, yep. I'll take our chances at that point.
4-plus goals 15 times in the playoffs, second most all time. But what I said earlier to my point, up 3-0 last year. It goes 7. Couldn't sweep Carolina. Couldn't finish them off at home. Got shut out. Couldn't finish Toronto off at home. Game 6. Got shut out. Blew them out in Game 7. So there's you got a chance if you're Edmonton. But stay out of the box. Score early. Skinner stands on his head. Maybe we go back to Edmonton for our epic Game 7.
I think we're seeing some parallels here between this series and the NBA Finals, right? Because in this series, Edmonton, boy, would they like to have Game 2 back.
Yep.
Oh, mama.
No
same,
doubt.
Same thing for Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
You think that they would give everything in the world to have Game 4 back?
Up 10, late third quarter?
Sure.
Yep.
But both teams would absolutely. And now, both series completely flipped. And I'll say both teams gave those games away. So if that doesn't happen, I think we're talking about two different champs here. But they did, and that's a lot to overcome.
You're just watching this now for five games, and Florida's the better team.
They are.
They lead in goals, expected goals, high danger chances, 5-on-5, and Edmonton only has 9 goals in the series, 5-on-5. The incredible thing, all 7 meetings this year have gone over, and 11 of the last 12 have gone over.
Game 5 was fortunate to go over.
Vicious beat, yep. And then every first period has gone over as well in this series. Ekholm blocks over 1.5. It's 12-1 overrun. Corey Perry over shots on goal, 1.5. I like the first goal to be a power play goal plus 230. That's available. And DraftKings got some creative stuff up. Most shots on goal in the game. Shots in the first 2 minutes, shots in the first 5 minutes, goal in the first 5, goal in the first 10, and they even have some time on ice stuff that's up there as well.
Do we get a little bit more of that Game 5 feel to this one tonight?
I would think so.
Where, right, yeah. the shots on goal, I was wrong about that. I thought that was just going to be,
I was wrong too.
Here's 60 more shots on goal coming at you combined.
Right.
Didn't happen. And the under was clearly, I think, the right play in that game, even though it was a loser. And tonight, I mean, with it being a Game 6, and it's do or die now for Edmonton, I mean, this is it, pretty much. So,
how do they call it, too? That's a big one.
Well, sure. Yeah. That's so unpredictable, though. You don't.
Yeah.
But also, and when the first 2 games went to overtime, you're like, okay, this is a completely dead even series. Hence, when it was a pick 'em basically to win the series, you know, overall, that made a lot of sense. It has not played out, to your point, about every number that you just ran down. It is not nearly as close as the first 2 games kind of indicated. The last 3, it has been pretty much all Florida. And it took that miraculous comeback by Edmonton to actually be in the spot right now. And I said this earlier, I'll say it again. Florida, they've had at least 2, well, they've had 2 A games so far in this series where they were the better team from the jump, and Edmonton could do nothing to respond, and Florida was outstanding for 60 minutes. Edmonton has yet to be there yet. And I don't know if they're capable of doing it against Florida because they're so good. But if Edmonton shows up with their A game tonight, and that would mean, I think, you know, basically 2 goals in that range from Skinner,
mm-hmm.
and then it's McDavid and Draisaitl just being unstoppable, then we'll have a Game 7.
He can do it. Skinner can do it. He did it last year. So hopefully he bounces back after the poor performance, and you can't put it all on him what happened in the last game. Any idea what Bouchard was? Most shots on goal in the series?
It was a nice number.
That's a big boy.
Double digits for sure.
He's 3.5. McDavid's 3.5. So is Draisaitl at DraftKings. Bennett, Reinhardt, Verhaeghe, Tkachuk, 2.5. So is Marchand. And then it's most shots on goal in the game. McDavid and Bouchard are 5-1 and Draisaitl 6.
Now, if you like Florida tonight, I think you also have to sprinkle a little bit on the puck line or bet.
Oh, yeah. And that's
why, goal.
I was going to say, that's why I can't get there with the under, even though it could be tight. But you got the empty net scenario in an elimination game. I mean, it's just there's no tomorrow.
Sure.
So he comes out, he stays out. That's a good bet, too. And I think that's, if Jonathan Davis is listening, I think that's usually 340. Just Florida have an empty net.
That's it, yeah.
So that's not bad. And you can certainly bet will it be empty net goal, period. But that's... Why not third period over? Be another one.
Yeah, it'd be what, 1.5 juiced,
heavily juiced,
$2 or so?
Yeah, you can play 2 though as well. Yep.
So are we going to get one of the dogs to win, NBA or the NHL, like to get a game over the weekend? There's a chance we come in here on Friday and that's it for the summer.
Yep.
Everything's over with.
Mm-hmm. Probably.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen. Thunder in 6, Florida in 6.
Yeah, plus 155. I don't have a bet on Florida yet tonight, but on the puck line. And it keeps coming down a little bit because there's more money coming in on Florida, but there's definitely a path where that's going to happen tonight.
Ways to protect the Bennett Conn Smythe ticket. Marchand minus 220 to have the most goals in the series. He's up one. You could bet him to have a point. You could bet him to have a goal. But it came crashing down earlier today. Bennett's now down to minus 120 at DraftKings. Marchand plus 220. I think maybe it has something to do with the NHL.com article where they asked nine writers, who's the Conn Smythe? And the picks were all over the place. There was two Marchand, three Bennett, two Bob, a couple Dreisaitl, and there was a Barkov on there too.
I'll get out of here.
Yeah, absolutely. It's lunacy.
You
want
to take a little Bob at 101?
So Lou Finocchiaro was making the case that he's hearing people making the case.
Oh no,
for
he
Bob?
Said he said they might make up for it for last year when people thought that Bob mm-hmm. should have won, and instead they gave it to McDavid. I would say this my way, and I have Bennett 18-1. I would actually say if you have Bennett and you want to hedge it tonight, I'd say bet Marchand to score a goal because you can still win both bets. Yeah. Because if Marchand scores a goal, I don't know, maybe Bennett scores a goal, and then you cash Marchand at what, plus 230, and you can still cash Bennett at whatever number you have to win the Conn Smythe. I think that might be worth a look. Some numbers here in the WNBA for tonight. We talked to Kevin Rogers yesterday. He told you about nine straight first quarter unders for the Dream. Tonight, that total is either 39.5 or 40.5 against the Liberty. The Liberty, they play in higher scoring games. Anyway, in the first quarter, they're 4-1 to the over. And you have the Mystics, 7-2-1. Liberty, by the way, laying 8 in that game against the Dream. The Mystics are 7-2-1 under in the first quarter. They're laying 4.5 or 5 at the Sky. Now down to 4, actually. Doug Kazarian was on Money Moves today. He made a great case for Mystics first half.
Mm.
Angel Reese, prop tonight, 11.5 rebounds.
That's a great job by DraftKings to put up offensive rebounds after she has trademarked
me-bounds
now.
Yeah, great job by her grabbing that,
That's
by the
a
way.
Good job. It's 4.5, by the way. Offensive rebounds
that.
For Reese.
She's had 13-9, 11-12 so far in these Commissioner Cup games. And Golden State, how do you like this? They play at the Wings tonight.
I like them.
In the game?
Yeah.
Okay. They are 7-3 to the under in the first quarter. The Wings have played 5 straight first quarter unders. The number is 40.5 tonight. Now, this is adjusted because recent Dallas numbers in the first quarter have been 42.5, 42, 43.5, 43, like in that range going back. And the Caitlin Clark number is 21.5. That looks too easy tonight for points, but that's because they're playing the worst team in the WNBA. It has blowout written all over it. The market thinks that as well. They're laying 17.5. This could be a 25-30-point game in the third quarter, and the coach for the Fever could say, that's it, get out of the game.
Didn't they lose to them?
That was without her.
Without her, though.
And then the Sun went on and lost by 50 to the Liberty. Yes.
You think she's worth something? My God. Want to know where the money's really going? Unlike other sources, our splits come straight from Circa and DraftKings, giving you insight into where the sharp action's landing. See percentage of bets versus percentage of handle on every game across every major sport, helping you make smarter, more informed bets. Get the exclusive betting splits as little as $9.99 for your first month. VSiN.com/subscribe. Join now, VSiN.com/subscribe.
More props coming up next. His prop is 17.5 tonight, a number that he has gone over once in 14 starts on the year. Find out the player next here on VSiN.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
There is a developing situation in Omaha, College World Series. Louisville, they've been leading a majority of this game against Oregon State. Right now it's 6-4, top of the ninth, the Cardinals.
Something just happened. It's not, Louisville's only $2 in play now.
There was a pass ball, and the runner moved up to second base.
Ooh, they got the rally caps on. They just hit a home run. This pitcher looks like he's out of sorts here. Yeah.
You can grab Oregon State right now, +1.5 runs, -110. There's nobody out and a runner on second. That seems to me, Paulie, like a pretty good bet.
Yeah.
The total is off the board where I'm looking right now. Oregon State to win the game, I have, it's going back and forth now. Plus 270 and that +1.5 also evaporated. So this stuff is happening quickly, and obviously we're not on the live feed like sports books are, so good luck keeping up with this. But...
winner takes on Coastal tomorrow.
Okay.
Loser goes home.
Mm-hmm.
Louisville not doing much in the Jello Shot Challenge or the Beavers. Incredible that Murray State's ahead of Arkansas.
I know.
And Murray State's home.
All right, keep you updated with that game as it progresses. A couple of other props to look at for me tonight anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned this game a little bit earlier. The Giants are taking on the Guardians. Robbie Ray goes against Cleveland tonight. Guy has been stellar pretty much the entire year. His K prop is 6.5. Opposing lefties are 13-5 over versus Cleveland this year. Opposing starters are on a 12-2 over run with their K prop against Cleveland. Ray is 9-5 with the over on the year. That's 9-3 since an 0-2 start. He recently went over his K prop against KC with 7, San Diego with 9, and Arizona with 9. And I'm telling you that because those three teams are three of the top five teams in all of Major League Baseball at not striking out on the year. The Guardians have struck out 27% of their at-bats against lefties since they faced Scooble on May 25th. Ray has 10.18 Ks per nine and a 28.1% K rate. It does make some sense. If he hits 28% of the with a K rate tonight, he does have to go, you know, seven strong innings. So that's up in the air.
Now, you want Devers props to make a great first impression? Plus 330 only hit a home run, but
he's very happy to be there.
That's right.
I mean, when his first comment was, "I'll play anywhere they want me to."
I know that's unbelievable. Yeah.
I mean, just shots fired.
Big Poppy reached out several times, he said, and Devers never responded. So that's unfortunate. Torkelson, 7 bombs against lefties. Baez hitting 350 against lefties. Although Falter's been awesome his last 8 starts. Turner hitting 444 against Quantrill. That game goes in less than half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Riley hitting 391 against Peterson. Lau hitting 445 against Kramer. Altuve hitting 409 against Sears. Henderson hitting 460 against Littell with 2 bombs. Schwarber has 3 bombs against Quantrill. Olson has 4 bombs against Peterson. Some props there. Peterson has struggled the last few starts against Atlanta as well. It's the first meeting this year between the Mets and Braves. They play 7 times in the next 10 days.
We just had that with Dodgers-Padres last week, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Some other good matchups tonight for batters, specifically against who they're facing. Addison Barger for the Blue Jays against Brandon Pfaadt. Ran down some of his numbers a little bit earlier in the show. A bunch of guys for the Nats. Abrams, Wood, Lau. Gunnar Henderson and Cedric Mullins against Zach Littell. You can do, maybe if you want to do like home run props on some of these guys, but I think maybe more total bases and look at hits plus runs plus RBIs. Matt McClain against David Festa's positive tonight. Gavin Sheets and Martin Maldonado against the Dodgers bullpen game, but also Michael Conforto versus Randy Vasquez. And here's the guy that I was talking about before the break, where the opening number was 17.5, and it was 17.5 across the board at almost every sports book as I was getting ready for the show today, Paulie. And when you look at it, it's with Will Warren and the Yankees. That's his outs prop for tonight. So on the year, he's made 14 starts. ERA 4.86, but that's a little misleading because the FIP is 3.23 and 11.29 Ks per nine. He's recorded 18 outs or more one time. That's it. And that was May 9th at the A's. Well, it was call it what you will, either a mistake by every sports book, a bad number, or they put it up and better said, no, that is a mistake. I got to take advantage of it. It's now down to 15.5. His outs prop moved 2 full numbers tonight. 17.5 under was clearly a play for me. And now 15.5, that changes things, obviously. So this stuff is always moving, and get the best number, obviously, as often as you possibly can, every time that you can. Another prop maybe tonight, Brian Wu for the Mariners. Outs prop is 18.5. Did you know that in his 13 starts this year that he has recorded at least 18 outs in every one of them?
Wow.
How good is that?
Strong. Should he be $1.75, though?
That seems like a pretty high number.
Sox have won 6 in a row. Pitching's been great. I don't know about that.
The way the Red Sox are trending.
Yeah.
So Wu was roughed up for 9 combined runs in his last 2 starts, but he still got to 18 outs in each of those games. Like I said, 18.5 tonight. He's hit that over in six of his 13 starts on the year, and the guy at home has been pretty remarkable the entire year. But that doesn't really happen in Major League Baseball anymore, where a guy's like that rock solid to begin the year for 2.5 months.
You've been dabbling in stolen base props?
No, not enough. Books here offer the numbers.
Okay. Cubs play the Brewers. Cubs are second, and Brewers are third in most steals. Thought I'd point that out. And also, why are the Rays only $1.15 tonight? 13-2 run. It's Kramer for the Orioles. They've won 19 of 25 since May 20th. They're number one in runs, number one in OPS, and number one in ERA.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get that line either. And I think Texas is cheap as well. Here they come. 7-1 their last eight. And they're a small price at home. We know they've been an under machine at home. And Kansas City has been awful. Oh, 3-10 run. And it's Lugo for the Royals. Seager has walked 10 games in a row. If you want to play that prop.
Oh,
too.
Good note. The Judge walks got there last night.
Yeah, it did.
It wasn't
early
in the game, but he did eventually get on base via the free pass twice against the Angels. Do you want to do anything here by fading the Rockies and going like over with K props? Because again, they struck out, 29 times over the weekend against Strider and Holmes.
Yeah.
Now they won the game last night, but Michael Soraka goes, who's got good strikeout stuff. His K prop tonight is 5.5. It is juice, like -160. You could also play 6.5 at +116 if you wanted. Like, what's the number when they take on Mackenzie Gore on Thursday, I think is his scheduled start? They might put up an 8.5 on it.
I know. Yep. Could be. How many outs? Nobody out. Bases loaded. Oh, look. They're imploding here. All the in play.
Oh, this is going to be a rough one, huh?
Yep. It was 6-3 Louisville on the ninth. It's 6-4, and they're loaded with nobody out.
Oh man.
Loser goes home.
They're now even money to win the game.
Yes.
And they're actually favored on the run line right now. How is that? I'm looking at -1.5 runs for Oregon State, +210.
They're now favored to win the game. Oregon State. This is wild.
Wow, okay.
This would be a brutal way to end the season.
Oh, you're telling me.
Wow.
And the winner here, you said, gets Coastal?
Yes.
Tomorrow? Okay.
Yep.
And then they would have to win that game to get another game on Thursday.
As I understand it, right.
Yes, because if they would lose that, then Coastal, there is no game on Thursday, and Coastal is clear.
Yep. Okay. Oregon State now $1.40 in play. Ready to get in on the action? First bet as you covered. Sign up now. Exclusive promotions. Bet on hundreds of thrilling horse races every day right from your phone or computer. Visit firstbet.com. Promo code VSIN200. Get a 20% rebate on all your wagers for the first 60 days. Up to $200. Don't miss out. Start betting today at firstbet.com.
All right. So the bases are loaded in Omaha. Louisville batting top of the ninth. Trailing Oregon State, that is, batting top of the ninth. Trailing Louisville 6-4. And what a turn of events this is. And, oh, boy, that was almost a wild pitch. They are all over the map here. And the rally hats are, look at that. They're all up in the dugout.
Home run? Up 6-5 now.
Okay.
Now I got 6-6. We're ahead. Yep. Tie game.
Well, does that mean that we have a two-run single here? Got to be.
Started with a home run, then a blooper, and then walk central.
Right to the shortstop.
Oh, kicked it.
Oh, boy.
Did it go under his glove?
I think it did.
Oh, my God.
He totally whiffed on it. And as a result, that scored two beavers. Oh.
He just missed it?
The choke job is on.
Oh, man.
That'll keep you up at night.
Would that have been a double play, too, or wasn't it hard enough?
It was going to be. It was certainly one out for sure. All right, we'll keep you updated on that game.
Oh, man.
And up next, a trip to Sunrise, Florida. Dennis Bernstein on the program, live on location, Panthers and Lightning. Do we get a Game 7?